We have gotten a little bit of movement in regards to the coronavirus stimulus package. Personally, it's probably going to be passed. Something's going to be passed before they go home for Christmas. So I'll take that as a Christmas gift. I know I said it wasn't coming. I'm still of that opinion a little bit just because of how far apart they are on a lot of things. But they seem to have more of a kick in the butt this time around. There's a new administration coming. There's a lot more. Republicans seem to be willing to do a lot more this time around to get something passed. Mnuchin, the current Treasury Secretary, met with Congress today. There were a lot of conferences today, mostly just for them to beat their chests, to be quite honest with you. So I'm going to go through as many of those as possible. First, we're going to start with Mnuchin. I went through his testimony to Congress today and his testimony to Congress 2 months ago. The reason why is because in these testimony hearings, it's just mostly political sniping back and forth and pot shots being taken. There's very little policy being discussed. A lot of times, there are very few people who do discuss it. Even when you bring up a policy question to be answered, there's just ways for them to obfuscate and talk about bullshit and not even really address what the question was about. So I got as much as I could out of 4 hours of just listening to them drone on and on. Let's start with Mnuchin's two testimonies and just try to get an idea of where he's thinking and what he's done. This is not comprehensive by any stretch of the imagination because it's a ton of information to dig through, but this is just what I got through. Mnuchin gave his testimony 2 months ago to Congress at the time. The Democratic bill at that time, it was $3 trillion, but they managed to drop the cost to around $2 trillion. When asked if he thought that that $2 trillion stimulus package would be useful, Mnuchin himself thought that $2 trillion was too high. He is in favor of some type of bipartisan program and stimulus package being passed, but he just doesn't agree with the $2 trillion money mark. When he was pressed on the money that was given to the states, he argued that the states were given money to spend how they felt. Part of the reason why he was asked this is because that tends to be a sticking point between Republicans and Democrats when it comes to the stimulus relief. The Democrats want a lot of money for the states. Republicans really don't. Republicans are really focused on small business relief and some money for education and some money for rental assistance and the Paycheck Protection Program. That seems to be their primary focus. Their primary focus is really businesses and business-related issues. When he was asked about the states, he said that they were given money to spend as they felt, because a lot of the states were still feeling economic pressure due to coronavirus and felt that they needed more relief. My senator from Maryland, and I can't remember his name, I apologize, made an important point. He said while they did give money to the states, he did remark that 75% of that spending was already allocated. So it was already going towards certain programs. They couldn't spend that money how they wished. That means they really only had about 25% of that money to play with to spend on programs that they felt were important to them. And that was going to change from state to state. So if you're in a state like California where housing is a problem, you're going to be spending most of your money on rental assistance. If you're in a state where housing isn't a problem, you might be spending more of that money on education. There is discrepancies in how states were spending money, and the argument was basically that the states didn't have a lot of money to really spend to really handle the pandemic in a proper and wholesome way. Republicans do not support giving more money to the states. One of the arguments made during the exchanges was that some states were just irresponsible in their spending, and they do not deserve a bailout. Republicans are really focused on making sure that people get back to work. However, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. Even with the vaccine around the corner, you're maybe looking at June, summertime, right, when we can get a vaccine out and distributed so that people can actually utilize it. You're still going to have pushback from a lot of people from using that vaccine simply because it was pushed out so fast. And I can understand the hesitation. And honestly, like, part of me feels the same way when it comes to this vaccine. Most vaccines take years. But again, this is a pandemic. We had one virus that literally hit the entire world. So you have the entire world focused on one thing in a short amount of time. It's amazing at what you can actually get done when you have a bunch of different people just working on a problem. So even though I'm hesitant about this particular vaccine, I will be taking it when it comes out. And I would encourage you to take it as well. However, I am a realist in that a lot of people will not. They will wait. So you're not going to have a bunch of people getting back to work. Even with the vaccine dropping, which vaccines you drop tomorrow, people are still not going to be going back to work. They're going to wait it out. They're going to see how it works on other people first, guinea pigs like myself. And if everything works out, you'll get more people on board. You're probably looking at until the end of next year, to be quite honest with you, before you get the most of the country vaccinated against this disease so that people can get back to work. So the Republicans are focusing on kind of passing piecemeal legislation. That's why Mitch McConnell only wants the $500 billion for stimulus package that he was pushing before the Congress went on break. They're trying to push it down the line. They're trying to do just enough to provide just enough relief so that they can get relief themselves when the vaccine comes and say, okay, the vaccine's here, everybody needs to go back to work now. But that's just not going to happen. And even if people do get vaccinated, there are just going to be long-term consequences to the fact that you have so many people who just lost their businesses and people are going to have to start all over again. It's going to be a problem. Today, when Mnuchin met with Congress, they were pressing him on the lending program that was set up by the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department. Now, the primary lending program, besides PPP, which is the Paycheck Protection Program, was something called the Main Street Lending Program. They gave them, I think, about $500 billion. They only spent maybe about $200 billion, so they have over $300 billion that they have not used. The Main Street Lending Program was really designed for what they call the 13-3 facilities. Now, these were the facilities that were too big to fail in 2008. That's what they were really worried about. They did not want another economic collapse like 2008. The purpose of the program was to have federal-backed funds so that the banks could use those funds to provide loans to businesses and people, mainly to businesses, so that they can keep liquidity in the markets. They did not want the markets to collapse. The Main Street Lending Program initially had a minimum amount of $500,000. That was in spring. They eventually got it down to $100,000. This was around October, so it was just a few months. It wasn't even a month ago when they managed to get the program down to $100,000. At $100,000, the program became more accessible to medium-sized businesses. I'm not entirely sure that this was geared towards small businesses. I don't think small businesses would be willing to take on a $100,000 liability like this, because again, this was a loan, it was not a grant. And there was nothing, at least at the time, that stipulated that the loan would be forgiven. So for a small business to take on $100,000 worth of debt is just not a good idea. So this particular program, in my honest opinion, was not geared towards small businesses in the first place. It was really just about Wall Street and just about the markets, which, again, I can understand. I understand why they wanted to do it, but that's what the program was for. At any rate, the program worked. The markets were liquid. Nothing collapsed. So it did its job, and it did its job for less than they thought that it was going to be. That program is going to end on December 31st. And the last applications for their program need to be received by December 14th. So if you were interested in getting that $100,000 loan, you need to do it now. When asked about what they would do to help businesses and lending, the idea was that they would use what they would call the Exchange Stabilization Fund to help with lending. Now, the Exchange Stabilization Fund was an act that was set up a long time ago, and to, quote, stabilize the U.S. dollar in case of turmoil in foreign currency markets after the U.S. abandoned the gold standard. So it was really just about keeping the dollar at a certain level. That's where they want to get any extra money for potential loans to come from. Where are we now in regards to coronavirus talks? We're still a little bit far away. So the last two bills that were proposed was the Democrats' Heroes Act, which was about over $2 trillion, and Mitch McConnell's Act, which was a little over $500 billion. Today, there was a meeting held by a bipartisan group of people who said that they were working over Thanksgiving. So for all of you guys who hate Congress because they don't do any work, they actually did some work. That's what they said. This particular bill is called a framework. So ideally, this will be the bare minimum that they can work with, and we'll see if they build on it from here. It's kind of light on details, but here are the main bullet points. $288 billion for small businesses, $180 billion for unemployment insurance, $160 billion for state, local, and tribal governments, $82 billion for education, $45 billion for transportation, $35 billion for health care provider relief fund, $26 billion for nutrition and agriculture, $25 billion for rental housing assistance, $16 billion for vaccine development, distribution, testing, and tracing, $12 billion for the CDFI MDI community lender support. Those are banks that support minority, rural, and low-income individuals. $10 billion for the United States Postal Service, $10 billion for child care, $10 billion for broadband, $5 billion for opioid treatment, and $4 billion for student loans. That is the framework that they are going to be working from. It has a lot of the same bullet points that was in the HEROES Act that the Democrats won. But again, I'm not sure. Nancy and Chuck are just really stuck on this, and I can actually understand why. Because their plan, even looking through their summary of their plan and what the money's going towards, it is much larger and far more comprehensive and far more focused on people at the bottom of the economic ladder, to be quite honest with you. The main sticking point is going to be, again, the amount of money that they're going to give to the states. They want a ton of money that's going to go towards the states. So if you don't know what's in the HEROES Act, I'm just going to run through as quickly as I can the programs and the amounts. So the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, they want $10 billion. Women, Infants, and Children, WIC, they want $1.1 billion. The Emergency Food Assistance Program. This is for like local food banks, $150 million. School meal providers, $3 billion. Farm and ranch stress assistance, $20 million. Census, they want to give them another $400 million. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, $100 million. The Bureau of Prisons, $200 million. That's really about medical equipment testing and protective equipment and sanitation. The Violence Against Women's Programs, $100 million for those. Community-oriented policing, so $300 million for them to hire more law enforcement and give them personal protective equipment, PPE. $250 million to help reform ex-prisoners. $600 million for the pandemic justice response. So this is really just about dealing with COVID inside correctional institutions. So more money for that. $50 million for legal services. State fiscal relief, $500 billion. Local fiscal relief, $375 billion. Tribal fiscal relief, $20 billion. Fiscal relief for territories, $20 billion. So you're looking at about a good trillion, almost $1 trillion just for local government assistance. And they only wanted to give them $160 billion. That is a big number and a big gap to bridge when it comes to local government assistance. And the Democrats are just really, really stuck on that. So that's going to be hard to get through. Then you have another $755 million just for the District of Columbia. Assistance to homeowners, $75 billion. Election assistance, $3.6 billion. So that's just dealing with the elections overall. That's already done, though. Broadband assistance, $1.5 billion. Small business assistance, $10 billion. And these are grants, okay? Grants, not loans. Postal Service, $25 billion. FEMA, $1.3 billion. Fish and Wildlife, $71 million. The U.S. Geological Survey, $40 million. The Bureau of Indian Affairs, $900 million. Department of the Interior, $1 billion. EPA, $50 million. The Indian Health Service, $2.1 billion. National Endowment for the Arts, $10 million. National Endowment for Humanities, $10 million. This is for the Department of Labor for Workforce Training and Worker Protection, $3.1 billion. Health Resources and Services Administration, $7.6 billion, which is about expanding healthcare services. Center for Disease Control, $2.1 billion. National Institutes of Health, $4.7 billion. Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response, $4.5 billion. So this is for research, manufacturing facilities, dealing with CODA. This is for the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, BARDA. Public Health and Social Services Emergency Fund, $175 billion to reimburse for healthcare-related expenses for lost revenue attributable to the coronavirus. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services, $3 billion. This includes substance abuse, community mental health, services for the homeless, mental health services, Child Traumatic Stress Network, suicide and disaster prevention. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, what they call a nursing strike team, so that in order to get skilled nurses out into the field, $150 million. Administration for Children and Families, $10.1 billion. This includes child care and development grants, low-income energy assistance programs, help for paying your bills, family violence programs, child abuse programs. Administration for Community Living, $100 million. So this is for the home delivering prepackaged meals, so the Meals on Wheels that disabled people and seniors get. Department of Education, $100 billion, primarily just about dealing with teachers, sanitation, professional development, additional training, it's a bunch of stuff in here, technology, more money. FAA, $75 million. This is primarily for them to deal with pay, overtime pay, hazard pay, and sanitation issues. The highway system, $15 billion. The transit emergency relief, $15 billion. For public housing assistance, something called tenant-based rental assistance, $4 billion for that. There's another $2 billion to help them deal with the coronavirus response. Housing for persons with AIDS, $15 million. Community development block grant, $5 billion. Homeless assistance grants, $11.5 billion. For homelessness, emergency rental assistance, $100 billion. Housing for the elderly, $500 million. Housing for persons with disabilities, $200 million. Counseling assistance, $100 million. And that was just a little bit of what they want. That's the Democratic plan. Again, Nancy and Chuck are just, and not just Nancy and Chuck, a lot of the Democrats are really just hell-bent on this HEROES Act. And it might be one of those things where they're willing to wait until the next administration to kind of force this to get passed, because they're not going to have a problem with Joe Biden. In fact, they're going to have somebody out there who's going to be advocating for it with them, probably giving them more money than they want right now. So while this framework is useful, and it actually does show that there are willing to meet, it is interesting that it came after the election, not before. Okay, so don't get it twisted about what they're thinking and what they're going through. And even then, even in the meeting or the, they stated that, even in their press conference, they stated that this $908 billion framework that they put forth is only really going to get us through March. So the Democratic plan, it costs a lot of money, do not get me wrong. It costs a ton, but it is far more focused on people at the bottom and really getting community support systems in place. And personally, given the fact that I'm just not of the belief that this is going to be over in the next 3 months, 6 months, even 12 months, I think that that's the plan that should be put forth. This piecemeal approach that the Republicans want, I know why they want it, but it's just not helpful. It should also note that this emergency framework does not include direct stimulus payments. All right, that's it.